Today's scripture comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The word of the Lord.
I am supposed to be at a banquet in Neoga in about 20 minutes. I'm not going to make it. They know that. So, but when I'm done with the sermon, I'm going to go ahead. I think I've gotten almost, I've shaken most of your hands, so I'm going to leave Jordan in charge of everything as soon as the sermon is done here. So, it's your problem, they're your problem, whatever here. So, I think you got a handout today. I saw Julie handing them out some things, interesting information about people who don't go to church. And we've been talking about the series of sermons is about the church. We've been talking about how the church looks from several different perspectives. Does anybody need a sheet? Just let John know. He's got some extras here. If you don't have a sheet in front of you, you'll be totally lost, and plus you may need something to hide your face while you sleep, so I won't notice that the statistics have gotten to you here. So, but we've been talking a little about the week Jordan preached. We talked about what the church looks like to the American nation. We've talked 2 weeks ago about what the church looks like in the eyes of God. Last week we talked about what the church looks like in the eyes of consumers. And today I'd like us to focus on what does a church look like if you're not going to church, if you're an outsider. And some of you have been at that point at certain circumstances of your life. And but there's quite a bit of research that's been done where we've actually asked people who don't go to church, what's it look like to you? Tell us about why you don't go. Tell us about what you think about the church. Now, in the material that I have for you today, the churchless, that would be people who don't go to church, a churchless person is going to be defined as somebody who hasn't been to church, who's dropped out now for at least 6 months. I mean, some people have dropped out for decades. But for purposes of the information I have for you, a churchless person is somebody who just hasn't been at all for the at least 6 months. And when we take a look at the churchless, when people are asked whether they go to church or not, 49% of the American public say that they go to church at least once a month. Now, we know they're lying because they're 49% of the people. 49% of our own members don't go to church once a month, much less 49% of the general public. I think part of it is in how they ask the question. Other research has shown that about 30% no more go to church once a month or more. About another 20% go a handful of times a year. So, but anyway, even those who go a handful, we won't call them churchless at this point. What we're going to call churchless are those who simply haven't been at all for 6 months or more. And of that number, about 10% of the American population just has never gone to church. And they are, 10% are churchless. But 33% of people who live in the United States did go to church regularly at some point, and they've dropped out. So that means 43% of the American public is churchless. So almost one out of every two people is churchless in America. Now, we also know that the younger you are, the more likely you are to be churchless. So that 28% of the elders, if you were born before 1945, for sociological purposes, we're going to call you an elder, whether you want to be called that or not. And so about 28% of people who are in sociologically the elder category are churchless. And then baby boomers, a little bit more, the what this is called, the Gen X, the Mosaics. So as you get younger, you are more and more likely to have either never gone to church or to have gone and dropped out. So another thing that's interesting is the number of people in our society who have never gone to church. 15% of the American public say they have never gone to church. And this was in 1993. Anybody here born in 1993? Okay. So when Jordan was born, 15% of the population say they've never participated regularly in a church. Now, thanks to all the work Jordan has done in his life, we're now at 23% of the American public. Just, they have no experience of the church whatsoever. So, it was interesting because when people were asked, when the churchless were asked, what would we have to say to you, what would have to happen for you to want to come to church with us? And when people were asked that question, 47% said, well, I might come if a friend invited me. 27% said, I might come if a pastor invited me. So that means you guys are more liked than I am. So I'm hurt here. 18% said they might come if they see it on a website or some other social media. 16% said they might come if they see it on a signboard or a billboard or a newspaper article. Now, on this first page, the next statistic shocked me. And I want to be sure you notice this last statistic on this first page. Among skeptics, 25% of the American public will tell you they really don't even believe in God. About half are agnostic, which say, you know, I don't believe in God because I just don't know. Agnostic means I don't know. I can't prove there is, I can't prove there isn't, so therefore, you know, I can't believe just because I don't know. About 10% of the American public will say, I really think there is no God. So this 25% of the American public is what the researchers will call skeptics. And so the question was asked of the skeptics, is there any way at all that you would be willing to go to a church? And so when the skeptics were asked this question, now this is a hard sell, because people that are atheists and agnostic, they're almost never going to go to church. They have absolutely no reason to. But when they were asked the question, it was interesting because 14% of them said that even though they have trouble believing in God, 14% of them said, I would go to a church if it had older people in it who were sharing their life stories. That statistic shocked me. 14% of people who are atheists and agnostic said, I might go to a church if it had older people who were sharing their life stories. Okay, so no more moaning about all the old people in this church. We have the one thing that it takes to be able to share with people who are agnostic or atheist. Another, 12% or so said they would consider going to a church if it was a church where people were involved hands-on in helping the poor and needed their help. Okay, page 2. All of the public was asked, what is your opinion about different denominations? Baptists, like them, don't like them. Lutherans, like them, don't like them, okay? Everybody was asked this question, not just the churchless, but the whole American public was asked the question. A fascinating result. The Methodist Church, 55% of the American public said they had a favorable opinion of the Methodists. Only 9% said they had an unfavorable opinion. It's the highest rated denomination in America. So that's one reason we put the Methodists back on the signs around here, is because by and large, people have a favorable opinion of a church that claims to be open heart, open mind, open door, of a church that says we believe in the power of the mind and the power of the heart. So it doesn't mean, just because somebody's churchless, doesn't mean that they have a negative opinion about us. Now, as a pastor of the church, if you're not coming to my church, my feelings get hurt. And I just think, oh, you know, it must be me. You must not like me. You must hate me if you're not coming to my church. Well, how's that for an ego trip that I'm on? And this is part of the problem, is people who are in churches, when folks don't come, we sometimes we get over dramatic. And we don't realize that they often, by and large, have a very favorable opinion of us. There are just other reasons they don't come. So, the next list, people were asked, the churchless were asked this next set of questions. Why don't you come? Why don't you go to church? So when the churchless were asked this, and it was interesting because in this particular set of questions, they could only give one answer. So, and the number one answer that people who are churchless gave, why don't you go to church? It's boring. Remember, they could only give one answer. Now, most people would probably have two or three things they might agree with on the list, but these, in this test, they could only give one answer. 15% of the people said, it's boring. Well, hey, I mean, about 40% of my congregation thinks it's boring, and they go to church, okay? So, but that's the statistic. Another 13%, when asked, why don't you go to church, they say, I'm just being lazy. 11% said, I'm just too busy. 10% said, I'm not a Christian. Another 10% said, I don't believe in God. 9% said, I think the people in the church are all hypocrites. So, at least, you know, more people think we're boring than think we're hypocrites. So, I don't know if that's good news or not. But it was also interesting when people who are churchless were asked about their spirituality. Churchless people, well, what do you believe? And it was interesting because almost everybody who doesn't go to church does have some form of spirituality. Over 90% of the American public will tell you that they are spiritual. So we want to know, among the churchless people, well, what kind of spiritual are you? And 12% said they're spiritual because they believe in religions other than Christianity, perhaps Buddhism or Muslim or Jewish. 25% said, well, I'm spiritual, but I'm not a believer in God. And 63%, though, of the churchless people said that they're Christian. And we often hear people say, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not into church. I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, but church is not my thing. So 63% of the people who are churchless are Christian. There's another interesting statistic. When people in the United States were asked whether or not they're born again, 18 million people who said they were born again are churchless. 18 million people said, yes, I've been born again, but they've dropped out of church. If all 18 million people who are churchless, who are born again, started going to church, then every church in the country would have an extra 50 people. We probably would have room for them if all the born-again people actually went to church. Okay, the last one on this second page, this is a sad one, okay? The researchers did a trick. They pulled a fast one on churchgoers, all right? So they gave churchgoers, this is not the churchless, people who do go to church, the researchers, they tricked them. They gave them a test, and on the test, there were 15 things about the way Pharisees in the Bible think and 15 things about the way Pharisees act. Now, and then there were 15 things about the way Jesus thinks and 15 things about the way Jesus acts. Okay? But they didn't tell people which were the thoughts and actions of Pharisees and which were the thoughts and actions of Jesus. They didn't tell people. Now, you all know, I hope, the Pharisees know Jesus, yes. I mean, we all know that, don't we? Yeah. Don't act like a Pharisee. Do act like Jesus. Don't think like a Pharisee. Think like Jesus. We all know that, don't we? Okay. Well, when this test was given to people who go to church regularly, and things to think, things to do, but the researchers didn't say which were like the Pharisees and which were like Jesus, it appears that most people in the church, while they know Pharisees are bad and Jesus is good, while people know in general which side we're supposed to be on, they evidently, most people who go to church evidently don't seem to really pay attention to the way Jesus thinks or acts, or the way Pharisees think or act. Because 72% of the people who go to churches, who go to church regularly, act like Pharisees. 72%. Only 14% of people who are in our churches actually think and act like Jesus. By their own admission, when they checked off, how do they act, how do they think? Only 14% of people report thinking and acting like Jesus. Now, if we said, do you act like Jesus? Well, yeah, probably 90% would say, yeah, I act like Jesus. But evidently, we don't seem to know very well what it means to act like Jesus or what it means to act like a Pharisee. That's something for us to keep in mind. Now, we all know that the group who is missing the most in our churches are young people. From about 40 down, 40 and younger. How many of you are 40 or younger here? Okay. Some of you are on the verge. Okay. So, and this is our, I think we had maybe 3 people in the early service. So, and we're like a big downtown church and we're not doing too well with it, are we? So, we know that young people are, they're a big part of the churchless part of America. When young people are asked the question, and this question was asked of young people both in and out of the church, what's your problem with the church? And they could give several answers to this question. When young people are asked, what's your problem? Young people who've already dropped out and young people who are probably on the verge of dropping out, these were their answers. 91% of young people, this would be people 35 and under, 91% young people in and out of the church said the church is too judgmental about the sexuality of other people. 87% of young people in and out of the church said churches are too negative about people who don't go to their church. 85% of young people said there are too many people in the church who are hypocritical. I think that would be where we say Jesus is the good guy and we shouldn't be like Pharisees, but in actuality, that's not how we live. 75% of young people say the church gets too involved in partisan politics. And about 80% of our churches are conservative. So about 20% of our churches are liberal in the United States. About 80% are conservative. Young people say the churches are too involved in partisan politics. 72% of young people say they have a problem with the church because it's too anti-science. 70% say they have a problem with the church because church people tend to be insensitive to anyone who's different from them. 68% of young people say the church is boring. 64% say the church is disrespectful of people from other religions. 61% of young people say the teachings of the church are confusing and the Bible is hard to understand. Now, so that's young people. We, If we want to know what the church looks like to the churchless, this is important data for us to know. We may not like it, but this is what we're finding when we ask people directly. Now, another thing I just want to say on the statistic page, one more thing about baby boomers. The group of people, how many are baby boomers here? We are the fastest disappearing group in the church. Baby boomers are leaving church like somebody's yelled fire. It's the fastest group of people exiting the church, not coming back and becoming churchless. The reason the younger people are not the fastest group leaving is because a lot of the younger people never came in the first place. But baby boomers are fleeing our churches. There's a 24% decrease in among baby boomers attending worship in the last 20 years. 40% decrease in Sunday school among baby boomers. 36% decrease among baby boomers who are willing to volunteer. In other words, 20 years ago, we've lost 30% of the baby boomer generation volunteering to help with church stuff. If you've ever tried to get a church program launched, a third of the baby boomers have left the building that used to volunteer. 78% increase in unchurched baby boomers in the last 20 years. It's now the largest, it will soon be the largest demographic group. It's headed that way to where there will be more churchless baby boomers than any other of our generations in our society. And when baby boomers are asked why they're leaving the church, these answers keep coming up. They no longer believe what the church is ordering them to believe about God or about the Bible. They are weary with the politics they hear in church. They have increased career demands or increased demands caring for child, grandchildren, increased health issues, and now these last ones. Notice these last three. Baby boomers are increasingly saying that they have outgrown what the church has to offer because what the church offers is just stuff out of a can. And the church is not listening to the issues, the doubts, the questions, and the struggles of real life. That people who are now going into old age are facing. It's still the same canned stuff of some program out of Nashville. Baby boomers are saying that they are looking for deeper relationships than the superficial relationships of the church have to offer them. So here we are. We've got this stuff now. We've got this stuff about people who are unchurched. I want to close with some reflections for you. And these are just brief, and I hope that these are the starting point for talking and not the conclusion of this particular topic. As people who are still in the church, and thank you all for sticking with the church. Thank you so much. I'm so delighted that we're all still here. I thank God for every one of you. We're still a part of the church. But here's the thing. The most important issue as we try to figure out what to do with the unchurched is that we love everybody. If we do not love the churchless people, individual by individual, then the number of the unchurched is going to continue to grow. Churches are going to continue to die. It all begins with love. It begins and it ends with love. If we who are in the church do not grow our love for the churchless, then nothing else is going to happen. Now, I want to see the church grow numerically. But before we start to grow outward, we have to grow inward. And here's the problem with love and people who don't go to church. The fact is that those of us who are in the church really have trouble loving the churchless. I hear it all the time. People in the church whining and complaining about those who don't come. all the time. I hear it in this church. I've heard it in every church I've ever been in. People who are in the church sort of don't like the churchless. I hear among church people that the churchless are spoiled or irreverent or too skeptical or too scientific or too permissive or too liberal or too disrespectful or too godless or too irresponsible or too selfish or too ungrateful or too busy sinning. I hear it all the time. And we've got to get over the fact that it doesn't matter whether we like people or not. It's our invitation as followers of Jesus to love people regardless. And there, we don't see that kind of unconditional love. We keep putting conditions on it. So, that's the first thing. Is the only way to be God's church and relate to the churchless is to enter a season of prayer and fasting that God will give us a change of heart toward the churchless. We, none of us in this room, love the churchless as much yet as God wants us to. Our list of what we don't like about them is too long, too poignant, too precise. It's infecting, diluting, and diminishing our love. Our first task is to pray to God to change our hearts, to open our hearts, to help us open our arms, to help us open our minds, to help us open our doors to people that we may not fully understand or condone. That's our first task. I think our second task is to become more humble in our judgments about people who live differently from us or who think differently from us. Of course, church folks are always aware of sin and how harmful it can be. And in the church, we should talk about sin. We really should. And we should celebrate any time there is a deliverance from sin. But you know, we Christians have a tendency to go hog wild about other people's sins and downplay the ways we have fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus pleads with us, with you and me, Jesus pleads with us to remove the log from our own eyes before we try to take the speck out of our brother's or sister's eyes. And the area where the church has been most judgmental is in the area of human sexuality. Boy, are we quick to pounce. If we don't agree with somebody else's actions or with somebody else's lifestyle. And the church has always been that way, and every generation has had its own obsession. The obsession of our generation is homosexuality. But other generations before us have had other issues. There's always been something where we've found somebody that we've wanted to ostracize. And make sure that that everybody knows that that person is disgusting to God. And church folks are often so intent on judging someone else's sexuality that they have not even noticed that they have mistranslated, misunderstood, and misquoted the Bible in order to put them down. Now, in July, the whole month of July, we're going to talk about sexual ethics. And we're going to talk a whole lot about how Christians put down other people and how we mistranslate the Bible and how we misinterpret it in order to make ourselves look better and other people look worse. We'll talk about that in July. But there are lots of righteous Christians who like to quote the Bible, and someday they're going to stand, lots of righteous Christians are someday going to stand before God, and God's going to say, what did you do? And God's going to say, and we're going to say, well, I put those people in their place, and start quoting Scripture, and God's going to say, oh, no. You got that Scripture wrong. And we're going to stand before God, and we're going to say, oops. We need to be more humble in our judgments about other people. Third, we need to be more articulate about what it means to believe in God. A lot of people who are on the outside have troubles with things we tell them they have to believe. To believe in God does not mean that we have to undergo a lobotomy and allow some church group to tell us how to think. It does not mean, belief in God does not mean that there's only one way to interpret the Bible. To believe in God does not mean that everything another religion teaches is wrong. To believe in God does not mean that we need to shoo away the doubts and questions out of our own heads and mindlessly mouth pious phrases that we've been taught. To believe in God does not mean that science and history are disqualified just because our feeble brains can't seem to square them with Bible stories. In biblical Greek, the word belief and the word faith are the same Greek word, pistis. And it means, pistis means being willing to take a risk on some person or on God or some notion, even though we don't know everything there is to know. Even though we have reasonable doubts, all we're asked to have is faith, a willingness to take a risk in spite of the fact we don't know everything, in spite of the fact we have our doubts, even though we can't find conclusive proof. To believe in God or to believe in the Bible doesn't mean that we have to attack those who challenge our faith or our beliefs. To believe in God doesn't mean that we have to attack another system that may challenge our religion, may make us wrestle with for the truth. We don't need to attack another system that may offend us or confuse us or stretch our thinking. We've got to rethink what it means to believe, because we're chasing a lot of people away with our hardline simplistic attitudes on this subject. And then last, I won't say much about this. We've got to be more like Jesus and less like the Pharisees. We need to start doing some serious Bible study, folks. If 72% of people in the church don't seem to know the practical difference between Jesus and the Pharisees, we better get our Bibles out, and we better start talking about it, and we better start spending some time understanding what that means. I want to close with this. I hope nobody comes away thinking that I've been scolding you. I'm talking about a church that I'm more to blame. I've been a pastor 45 years this year. If anyone's to blame for the way the church is, you're looking at him. I'll share the blame with Ron a little bit too, but I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about us. And I'm not trying to scold people. The reason I'm talking to you all about this is because I love being your pastor, and I believe that I'm in a church with a lot of good people who don't want us to keep on like we've been going on. I'm sharing this with you not because I want to scold you. I'm sharing this with you because I trust you all with it. I trust you all that you'll join me in the prayer and the fasting and the Bible study and the toning down the judgmentalism and being more open-minded. I trust that God has put me in the right place with the right group of people. I trust that this really is a group of people who want to have open hearts and open minds and open doors. That's why I'm sharing. So please don't go away thinking a preacher just stood up and really scorched us today. That's not what I'm doing. And if it's come across that way, I sincerely apologize to you. I'm sharing this with you because we're all in this together. We all have people who are churchless that we love. We all have people who are churchless, who are missing out on the fellowship, on the goodness, on the living Word of God, on the strength that Christ offers through the community. I'm sharing this because we all can name the names, people in our own families, people who are closest to us, who have somehow been alienated by barriers that we can remove. You're my people. And we got so many people in our community that are churchless. So many people who could become a part of our community. So many people we could bless, who could bless us. And in the name of Christ, we can make a difference in this town where we live. This is God's church. It's not our church. It's scary. It's not our church. God's church. And God's claiming the church. And God's making the changes. Whether we want to or not, that's the way it's going. And so, will you join me to make this a kind of a church where every single churchless person we know, every single churchless person in our town can be blessed by the changes we're about to make? Are you with me?